Well, praise the Lord. How many of y'all are ready for part two? Let's all lift up our hands. Say, Lord, you're my healer. You're my physician. See, there's a distinction between me and someone in the world. I have you. You're in me. And I'm in you. And I've been given authority in Jesus' name over all sickness, over all pain, and over all infirmity. And I make this decision. I will walk and I will live in divine health all the days of my life. With long life, God will satisfy me and show me His salvation. As my years are, so shall my strength be. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give it up for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So always know this. There's a distinction. God sees a distinction. In other words, the rules are different for us. Rules are different for me. Yeah, amen. Amen. Go in your Bible, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. You know, I've noticed that people that are used greatly in the healing ministry, they have a different walk. They have a different awareness. They walk with an awareness, a consciousness of what they have. You know, John G. Lake, when you look at his writings, he talks about how the lightnings of God, it's like electricity, the lightnings of God would come out of his being, and as he would pray for people, that the lightnings of God would, like, you know, be released, okay? And so he was had this consciousness, right? And so, of course, John G. Lake, you know, had the healing rooms in 1910, 1915, and he trained 18 healing workers, all right? And before you could be part of his team, all right, you were given an incurable case, a case that was incurable by medical science, and you were to go and to work with that person until they were healed. And that's what then qualified you to be on his healing technician, healing team, all right? And then he also had a $500 guarantee that if you came into one of the rooms, all right, and you didn't receive your healing within 30 days, he would hand you $500. Boy, $500 in 1910. It's a lot of money today. It was a lot of money back then. But that's how sure, that's how confident he was. You know, it's just like Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, Jesus had a reputation that wherever Jesus went, people got healed. And now we've stepped into the same frame. All right? We're a brand new species that never existed. We have now God living inside of us. And living now with that awareness that God Himself lives in me. Greater is He. Greater is the anointing in me than any sickness that's around me. He listened to Charles and Frances Hunter. They would get up to minister. And you know, people thought that, you know, Frances was a little kooky. But I tell you what, kookiness gets miracles sometimes. But she would talk like the anointing, the anointing is in my hair. The anointing is in my clothes. The anointing is in my words, okay? She lived with this awareness that the Spirit of God, she talked about it would ooze out of the pores of her skin. You know, and to the natural man, you're like, what's that woman talking about? Okay? But she would describe like a force field. This awareness, like a force field, okay? I mean, we look at Benny Hinn today, right? I mean, it's like he'll go, and you over here. Like he's, He's constantly walking with an awareness, a consciousness of the power of God, the anointing of God. And all he has to do is wave his hand or speak, right? Because there's substance. There's tangible substance, all right, that he walks in. The anointing of God dwells inside of us. It lives in us. Greater is he living in me than anything that's in the world. And see, when we start living with an awareness like that, right, brother? Some of y'all were with us last week. Got those Penn State students all fired up in Ireland, laying hands on the sick, and that guy say, "Oh, it's so good. It's such a great feeling to lay hands on the sick. It's like electricity, you know." Yeah. And he's like, "Yeah, the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, it's in my hands. You know," and he just wanted to lay hands on everybody, right? But it's that awareness, it's that consciousness. See, we're not insufficient. Our sufficiency is of God. It's of him. Everything that he is, everything that he has, everything that he can do now dwells in us. We're not even all human. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, why do you walk like mere men? You are limited yourself by your own affections, by your own thoughts. Right? God never created you to walk like someone in the world. God created us. He never created us ordinary. He created us extraordinary. We're not called to be natural. We're called to be supernatural. We have a supernatural God living inside of us. Hallelujah. So Paul was like, shake yourself. Like, come on. God never intended for you to walk like mere men. So walk like Jesus walked. Walk like Jesus walked. As he is, so are you. I like this translation. It's the distilled Bible. It says, it's distilled, okay? It says, now you're living out your second existence, which is Jesus using your body. You came into him. He came into you. You became a new person. Now you're enjoying your second existence, which is Jesus using your body. Oh man. And it's like Jesus is saying, yeah, I'm going to heaven, but I just need to borrow your body. Can I use your hands? Can I use your words? Yeah. Whew. I mean, Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. He says, when God isn't moving, I move God. I mean, talk about these statements. There's an awareness that they had and that they carried, okay? I mean, to the natural mind, it just sounds like way out, okay? But to them, it was normal because the supernatural was normal. Hallelujah. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 5. If I can get you thinking differently, then we can get more results. 2 Kings chapter 5, we're going to look at this. This is a story of Naaman the leper. Naaman was captain of the army of Syria. He was an honorable man, the Bible says, but he had leprosy. Naaman was the guy who shot the arrow that killed King Ahab. That's what the scripture tells us. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. So let's just read it. It's going to be a little bit lengthy here, but it says in verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. Everybody say a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." So she tells Naaman's wife, "Listen, there's a prophet in Israel that can heal your husband." So he heard that word. And so it says so one went in and told his Lord, saying, "This thus and thus says the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Well, go. And I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him, all these different things. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that you may recover him or heal him of his leprosy." And of course, when the king heard it, he rent his clothes and he said, "Am I God?" And so, verse 5, it says, "And so it was, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore has you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me.'" Everybody say, "Bring him here." Bring him here. Say it again. "Bring him here. Let him come to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and a chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him and saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and my flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman became wroth. Everybody say wroth, angry. He went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand." A lot of times people miss their healing because they think, "Oh, I bet this is the way it's going to happen." And it doesn't. "For surely he will come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." And then he says, "Aren't not the rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? Can I just go wash in them and be clean?" And so he turned away in a rage. And his servants came near and said to them, "My father, if the prophet had just said for you to do something, some great thing, wouldn't you not have done it? How much rather than that he just says, 'Go wash and be clean.'" So he listened to them and he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the river Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was cleaned. And he returned to the man of God, and he says, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Praise the Lord." Now, what I want us to extract from this story is, number one, is that there's a difference between God's will and God's ways. Let's just write that down. There's a difference between God's will in God's ways. Of course, we need to know the will of God, right? Paul says in Ephesians, he says, "Don't be ignorant or unwise, but understand the will of the Lord." So God wants us to understand his will. And typically his word, God's word is his will, right? It's old word, old will, old covenant, new will, new covenant, okay? And so we have the whole counsel of God. We have the old and the new as the word of God. All right, and so when we look in the Word of God, we say, hey, healing is the will of God, right? Okay, so Naaman was a Syrian, and he had gone on a raid, and this little maid from Israel came. And she came to Naaman's wife, and she says, "Listen, there is a prophet in Israel, all right? There's a God in Israel that can heal Naaman of his leprosy." All right, and so when he heard that, he understood that it was God's will. She represented it. She told it. She was declaring, there's a prophet. God, the God of Israel, heals. So at that moment, he understood, okay, this is God's will. All right. If there's a God in Israel, I'm going to find out. And so he came. He came with anticipation. He came with all of his chariots, all of his horses, and he stood there. He thought that Elisha would just wave his hand. He didn't. And what did Elisha do? He says, now go wash in the river seven times. Dip seven times. See, there's God's will, and then there's God's ways. So how do we go, how do we get our healing? How do we receive it? Well, there are ways. There are the ways of God. God says, my ways are higher than man's ways. All right? And so God's ways was, okay, well, I could do this, but instead, go dip seven times. Yeah, but we have better waters in our country than there are. No, I said, go wash seven times. See, this is where we talk about the ways of God. Because obedience always what? Brings blessing. All right? And when I was in the hospital, okay, and I was dying of cancer, I started reading my Bible, and I started discovering the ways of God. Oh, the ways of God. I just started, okay, first of all, the Word of God. All right? God's Word. Proverbs 4:20 says, my words are life. My words are health. My words are medicine to your whole body. Attend to my words. So I took those posters and wrote the word, you know, computer pronounced, wrote the word. Keep my words before you. My words are medicine. My words are life. And so one of the main ways is what? His word, right? He sent his word and it healed us. But we have to what? Attend to his words. All right? And of course, life and death are what? In the power of the tongue. All right? So when we see those words, we begin to say, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. By his stripes, I am healed. Okay? Because everything that God does, he uses words. There's no miracle in the Bible without words. The whole universe, the worlds were framed by the what? Spoken word of God. All right? Book of James says that your tongue is like the rudder of a ship. If you want to change the course of your life, change your words. Starts with your mouth. All right? Your mouth is the rudder. So you begin to speak out. So I begin to see, okay, these are the ways of God. These are how God works. So I can't just lay in this hospital bed and think and do nothing but think and expect God to heal me. I know it's his will because I read in the scripture, it's his will. I know that Jesus purchased it 2,000 years ago. It's his will. But now, what are his ways? Well, his ways are, you got to start speaking. Faith, right? Believe on the inside. Speak with your mouth. All right? Speak to the mountain. Call things that be not as though they are. So that cancer that had grown, I said, in the name of Jesus, Jesus, you said in Mark 11, 23 and 24, whoever would say to the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the midst of the sea, and shall believe whatever he says, and whatever he says shall come to pass. So I lay in my bed saying, in the name of Jesus, cancer, I command you to die. Command you to die in Jesus' name. I'm speaking to the mountain. Jesus, you said it. Whoever would say to the mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. All right? This is how faith works. This is how God works. See, in order to get healing, you've got to come in agreement with God. Okay? So this church, you guys know this. All right? Y'all been taught this. All right? And so, but we also have to what? Call things that be not. Call things into existence. So God, I call my body healed. I'm calling my body healed. I'm calling my body cancer free in Jesus' name. Just like Abraham, he called himself a father of many nations. Years before, right, he became a father of many nations. Because we have to act the way God acts, okay? So we know the importance of the word, okay? But then when I begin to read scripture about joy, that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, that the joy of the Lord is my strength, okay? That joy is a is a supernatural substance, okay? It's an eternal substance from heaven. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, okay? Heaven is going to be full of joy, okay? The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. And Isaiah says, with joy, with great joy, you draw from the wells of salvation. So when I begin to see the element of joy and that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, I said, well, I'm going to take my medicine. Yes. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 devil. All right. You might think that you're winning this battle. It might look impossible, but ha, 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 I'm coming out on top. Ha, 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 you just wait, because when I get out of this place, I'm going to go around the world. I'm going to give you two black eyes. I'm going to see the lost saved. I'm going to see bodies get healed. Miracles happen. Okay? And so, ha, 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 ha. C.S. Lewis said this, joy is the serious business of heaven. So when you're full of joy, ha, 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 heaven is doing your business. Now, that doesn't make any sense in the natural. But so the Bible says God's chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. Okay? These are the ways of God. This is how you get healed when things don't look so great. Because the joy, that supernatural substance, all right, is a living substance, okay? In doctors now, in hospitals, they say three laughs a week will add 8 years to your life. We ought to be living a long time as the body of Christ. Come on now. Christians today ought to be the most happy, joyful people on the planet. Everybody say, ha, ha, ha. All right? And so I'm in the middle of getting sick, okay? I'm throwing up. I hate to say it graphically, but I'm on the edge of my bed throwing up. There's no bedpan, whatever. The nurse comes walking in, and I'm going, ha, 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 ha. She's like, are you okay? And I said, yes, I am. Now she's thinking, she says, okay, well, just let me know if you need anything. I'm like, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. And I had one of those joy spells. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, I don't feel so great. I don't feel so bad. But you know what? I have the truth. I have the truth. Come on now. This is the word of God. This is the truth about me. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Hallelujah. So a lot of times, you know, people say, should I pray? Should I pray for joy? No, you just yield to joy. Amen. Because it's already living inside of you. And so at first, you're doing it by faith. Ha, 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 ha. All right? It may not feel like it's real. But there's a famous doctor, Dr. Fry, did research on joy. He said that the results happen whether you do it real or fake. Sometimes you have to fake it till you make it. Right? All right? And so he says the results are just the same, whether you're going, ha, 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 or whether you're going, ha, 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 ha. All right? Just the same results. Isn't that amazing? Medical science. They know this. A merry heart, a joyful spirit, all right, is like a medicine. It'll add 8 years to your life. Woo! Yes. Hallelujah. These are God's ways. Yes. Here's another one. Praise. 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 Come on now. Cause the enemy to run in terror. The devil can't stand around you. The devil can't stand. He can't be in the same room as you. you start praising God. God inhabits the praises of his people. Yeah. I mean, when we start praising God, all right, heaven comes down, God's presence is here. But the devil's like, man, I'm out of here, you know, like, you know. And so if he's, you know, attacking your body, all right, you start praising him, he's like, man, I'm out of here. Like this, look. You guys are getting way too loud, okay? I'm not going to be able to stand it much longer. I'm going to have to leave, okay? And you go, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and leave. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, praise causes the enemy to run in terror. You want to terrorize the devil? Start praising God. It's called the praise cure. You know, it goes. There was an old story of a missionary, you know, a person overseas, where they had symptoms in their body and a fever, and they said, Lord, you know, why don't you take this affliction away from me? And the Lord says, when your praise basket exceeds your prayer basket, I've heard your prayers and your pleadings, but when your praise basket exceeds your prayer basket, that's the moment you'll be healed. So the started praising God, praising God, praising God. I know my wife and I, we bought a piece of property. We thought the Lord told us to buy it. One of my good friends, he was an older man. He was one of the probably top real estate people in our city. He says to me, Brian, tell me you didn't buy that piece of property. That property's been sitting and sitting and sitting. That property is worthless. I said, well, if I made a mistake, then, hey, I'll just say, God, please forgive me. And guess what? Then he'll get me out of the situation. You know? And so my wife and I were like, okay, what are we going to do? We moved into this tiny little shack with two kids and a third on the way. Not less than 900 square feet in the house. Toilet didn't work. There was no oven, nothing. Man, we were living on faith, though. And we thought this is what the Lord told us to do, to buy this piece of property. So, but now we're getting negativity. People think we're crazy. Our parents won't even come. Because when they saw the nature of the shack, they were like, they thought we had lost our minds. So my wife got a scripture that praise causes the earth to yield forth her increase. She'd get up at 6:30 in the morning, start walking the property. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise causes the earth to yield forth her increase. Thank you, Lord, that this land, this property is yielding forth your increase. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Amen. He brings God on the scene. God's the best real estate agent there is. 2 years went by. And one day we got a call. Walmart needs your property. You have certain things in your deed, certain utilities and stuff like that. It went back to 1900, and that was an old deed that had never, all those utilities, that easement, all that stuff had never been transferred to the new deed. And when Walmart and all that started looking into things, they realize, oh wow, this property is valuable. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And so yeah, there was God blessed us with that property, okay? But see, these the ways of God. This is how God works. How about taking communion? Putting Jesus in remembrance. All right? This is one of the strongest connections to our covenant. You know, you think, well, just taking a wafer and sipping a little juice or whatever. No, it's a powerful, it's Jesus is in it. God is in it. All right. I mean, I had a cousin of mine who was an Episcopal priest. They used to have communion every Wednesday. He says to me, I don't understand it, but our church, our diocese or whatever, we have all these testimonies of people getting healed and blessed when they come and they take of the Eucharist. You know, he doesn't quite get the connection. But I'm like, yeah, of course. You put Jesus in remembrance of what Jesus did at the cross. He redeemed you from the curse of sickness, from the curse of poverty. All right, come on now. I mean, you're putting your faith in what Jesus accomplished, what Jesus did. There's going to be a change. There's going to be something that manifests in your life. Hallelujah. See, that's why Paul rebuked them, because he said, you're putting your faith in the blood, but you're not putting your faith in the body. That's why many are sick. Many are dying. But when you put your faith in the blood and you put your faith in the body, by his stripes for you, you were healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, these are the ways. Speaking to the mountain. Calling things that be not. Tithing, giving, forgiving. That's a big one. That's the number one thing we need to do as the body of Christ is forgive. Forgiveness. All right? Because what? Offense, holding grudges, all right? Being offended, being bitter, all of that is a hindrance. Okay? It can hinder the anointing, hinder the power of God, okay? And so we've got to stay free from offense. In fact, I'll turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's just end with this for this session. Proverbs 4, verse 20, says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they, my words, are life. Everybody say, his words, God's words, are life to those who find them. In health, to all their flesh. So God says this, if you'll attend to my words will produce life and health. Then he says, but keep your heart with all diligence. Often in Scripture, you'll see a heart verse and a power verse together. You'll see a promise, but then there's the heart issue. All right, go to Mark chapter 11. What do we see in Mark chapter 11? Jesus said to them, verse 22, have faith in God or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. You believe how? That's such a strong statement. Yes. You'll be able to speak to a mountain. The mountain will be removed. And whatever you say, and you believe in your heart, whatever you say shall come to pass. Wow. Then he says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now follow to verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. Power verse, heart verse. Power verse, heart verse. All right? Book of James says the same thing. Prayer of faith shall heal the sick. But if you need to confess your sins, all right? So the Lord will raise you up. Prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Lord will raise you up. But if you've committed sins. In other words, there's something that's not right, something that you need to take care of. So we're the custodian over our own bodies, over our own lives. So our heart condition is so important. I like what Paul says. He says, I live my life in as much as that lies within me, I live with a clean conscience before God and before men. Some of you may remember this story. A number of years ago, there was a videotape of a man in Africa who was raised from the dead. And that videotape circulated, and people got a hold of that story. His name is Daniel, and people were watching that videotape. It was like 12 or 15 minutes or something, where they saw him laying on a table. He was in the basement of a building, and so he had died. He'd been dead for a number of days. In fact, he had also they had taken out organs and his blood, and you know, all performed all that just like you would for a burial. And so, but the wife came to Reinhard Bonnke, and Reinhard Bonnke said, "Yeah, if you'll bring him, I'll pray for him." Well, Reinhard Bonnke forgot. All right, and so she shows up, and he has a meeting with pastors, and he was going to have a crusade later that night. Well, he forgot. Okay, so she, when she came with the hearse, you know, they brought her husband's body in the basement. Okay, and so she's just waiting down there. And so the story, if you back up the story, what happened was several days before, the husband and wife got in an argument. And she reached across and she slapped him. Well, now, in some cultures, that's a big no-no. All right, disrespect. And she fell on her knees and she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I repent. And then she took off running. And she ran into one of the bedrooms, locked the door. So, of course, he got up and he was angry. He's mad. He started beating and pounding on that door. And he says to his wife, "You're going to regret that you ever did that to me. I'm going to make your life so miserable." And he left the house. Got in a car, and a couple of hours down the road had a car accident and died. So while he was dying, he had an encounter with Jesus. And then he had an encounter with hell. He went to heaven, then he went to hell. And during this time, he was reminded. Of what he had just said to his wife. And he said, "Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. I repent. Okay, I shouldn't have said that. I should have done that. I should have meant that. But I repent." And so he did that while he was looking and facing the fires of hell. And then the Lord brought him back to heaven. And Jesus said, "That's where you would have ended up had you not forgiven your wife." Now, that may not mix so much with our theology sometimes. Because what did Jesus say? "If you don't forgive others, how can my Heavenly Father?" Right. All right. But the moment that he repented, okay, looking at hell and the flames, and then Jesus brought him back, and so during that time, now she's praying for his resurrection. She's holding on to God. God, you know, it's not right. My husband's a pastor. There's more years for him to live. You know, da da da. Lord, I beseech you. In the name of Jesus, bring him back. I plead his case. Okay. And so what you see in the video, him laying on a flat table, and he's laying there. All right. He's been dead for several days. All right. And all of a sudden, like this. His heart begins to beat. And he comes back into his body. And for the 12 or 15 minutes of that video, all right, Daniel comes back to life. Okay. And it's a true resurrection from the dead. And so that video went viral. Okay. And so that story went viral, but people don't know the background. And so today, Daniel and his wife, you know what they preach on? They preach on the power of forgiveness. They have a ministry preaching on the power of forgiveness. Yeah, yeah. I know I was called to a hospital a number of years ago. This guy got my name. He says, I don't go to church, but my wife is dying. She's in a coma. So he says, I don't know anything, but, you know, somebody gave me your name, so come help me. I said, okay. So I came in, and I began to tell him about God, who God is, and share the gospel with him. And I said, okay. And his wife was in a coma. I said, now, she's in a coma, but her spirit can, I believe her spirit can pick up things. Her spirit is alive, okay? So I said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take scripture, I'm going to take the word of God, and I'm going to start speaking. We're going to start speaking the word of God over her, okay? Speaking life, speaking healing in the name of Jesus. So I said, so this is how you do it. So he began to, you know, mimic me, and we began to speak life, speak healing into the room, speak healing over her. Michelle, in the name of Jesus, we speak life to your body. We speak life to your body. Michelle, we know you can hear us. Your spirit can hear us. So Michelle, call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be healed. And so, you know, call on the name of the Lord. In the meantime, we're speaking life, we're speaking healing, wholeness, soundness. You know, we're turning to one scripture after another scripture. She will live and not die. Declare the works of the Lord. By Jesus' stripes she was healed, and by his stripes she is healed. And so a couple hours go on, okay? And the nurse comes in, and she goes, all of a sudden the monitors are lighting up, her brain activity, all right? The nurse is like, oh my gosh, her brain, it's you know, receiving, you know, sensory, you know, things. So in her heart, her blood pressure, all this stuff started, and the nurse is like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So I said to the guy, see, you know, this is how you do it, okay? And so he goes, yo, wow, praise the Lord, you know? And so about after midnight, okay, all of a sudden, she came alive. She opened her eyes. She had a little smile on her face. And it was like, well, where am I? And of course, he saw this. He was like, oh my gosh. And so he went over, he was hugging her in the bed, you know, honey, you're alive. You're alive. And of course, we notified the nurses. They came in. They're like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So I said, well, praise the Lord. That took like four and a half hours. Okay. So I said, listen, it's after midnight. I got to go home. Okay. So I went home, and the next morning about 10:30, I came to the hospital, and I walk in the room, and she's back in the coma. I said, what happened? And she said, he said, you wouldn't believe this, but she had family come really early this morning, and they saw her. And they started getting in an argument that they... They got in this argument, and then she fell asleep, and now she's back in a coma. I said, oh my gosh. So you know what? I said, we're going to go back, do exactly, you know, what it is. And so we did, you know, and you know, it took another day or two before she came out of the coma. But the thing is that, you know, all these things affect each other, right? Bitterness, anger, strife, unforgiveness. Okay, all right. They affect you. All right. They can be a hindrance, right, to your health, to your well-being. Okay, and so, you know, I got mad the second time because I'm like, how dare the devil get back in when it took some work to get her out of the coma, right? You know, but. We just don't know sometimes how one thing can affect something else. All right? So what are we supposed to do? We have a commandment of love. We're to walk in love. All right? We're to not hold grudges. Walk in forgiveness. Release other people. You know? Pray for them and bless them. All right? That's what we're called to do. Okay? And keep our heart clean, all right? Because the condition of our heart can affect the condition of our body. Praise the Lord. So that's really our number one thing as Christians, okay, is to walk in love. How many of y'all endeavor to walk in love? Amen? All right? Just say free from strife, free from bitterness, free from offense. Thank you, Lord. Let's all lift up our hands. Father, I just thank you for our session today. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. Lord, as we've covered certain types of ground, Lord, I just thank you for each person, each marriage, each family here today. And Lord, I pray for the love of God to be shed abroad. We know it already is. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But Father, we would walk into a greater degree of your love, that we'd know the height, the depth, the length, the width, having a greater understanding of love that you have for us and the love that you endeavor for us to have for others. Lord, as we walk and flow in the love of God, Lord, we thank you. There'll be a river of life that comes from your throne that flows in us and through us. So I want you to just go ahead and just remain. Just keep your hands lifted up. Just close your eyes if you would. Maybe right now the Holy Spirit's bringing something to your mind or to your heart. Maybe a situation, maybe a family member, maybe something that happened, something that's going on right now. Let's just take a moment, and before we break for lunch, just lift that up to the Lord and say, Lord, I forgive that person. Call it out, call them by name. Lord, I forgive that person or that situation. Lord, I put it into your hands, and Lord, I release them. Lord, all the care, give it to you. And Lord, right now, I ask for that person. Lord, I pray blessings. I speak blessings over them in the name of Jesus. I ask that you would bless them. And Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Lord, let me walk in your love all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, just take a moment too, because maybe somebody here today, you haven't forgiven yourself. Maybe you feel like you're to blame for how your kids turned out or maybe a situation, just go ahead and just be free from that. Be released of that right now in Jesus' name. Just bring that before the Lord and receive forgiveness, receive grace, receive the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. And we bless you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 We're going to take a break, but let me just share. This might make you feel better, okay? We were in a healing school one time, and a lady came in, and she had some issues. And so we said, you know, are you holding anything against, are you married? You know, she says, well, I've been married 14 times. And only 9 of them, I remember their name. She said, my first husband was really good. We were married for several years. And then my second husband wasn't too bad. He said, when I got to the third, I told him, listen, if you're stupid enough to marry me, I'm going to divorce you within 30 days. Piece of work, you know? But you know what? She went one by one, all right? She forgave them all, okay? Today she's completely healed. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Maybe your situation doesn't look so bad, right? All right, let's take a break for lunch, and let's come back ready to learn some more things. Amen?